My dear brothers and sisters, it has always been very difficult for me to speak after an absorbing sitting, but the rituals have to be gone through. I have a small message coming from my real understanding of the subject. I am very happy that we are all united again to celebrate the 141st birthday of our Grand Master, Pujya Lalaji Maharaj. I have been a seeker and still am, but I stopped asking the books and the stars quite some time back. I started listening to the teachings of my soul. I understood much later that Sufism and Santmat and Samarpan are let go and constant remembrance are the driving forces of his teachings. In the lineage of the Naqshbandiya Sufi order, the transmission of knowledge is carried out heart to heart. It travels from the heart of the master into the heart of the disciple through his love and devotion for the master, and grows with the practice provided the disciple transcends his ego. Many of the aspirants who are acquainted with this think that pranahuti and the heart-to-heart teachings of the Sufi are the same, and they even state that our master has simply adopted this feature without proper understanding of the procedures in this regard. Some use such languages that they know with utter disregard to the truth of the matter. It's a fact that Lalaji Maharaj met his master, the great Sufi saint, Hazrat Fazal Ahmad Khan of Raipuri in 1891, and spent 16 years in his company. This saint gave him full powers to train others on October 11, 1896. However, he began his teachings in 1911 after he had assimilated the best of the various religions, had founded a new method drawing liberally from Sufism and Hinduism. His method, however, also makes it possible to realize one's true nature in God for all without giving up family life, and in a short period of time. This becomes possible thanks to the master enshrined in their hearts and who accompanies them through the entire spiritual journey. The teachings, we realize, is also bringing a social and spiritual regeneration. He could raise his disciples to the highest state, that is the central area, with his will. He is the pillar of Santmat. His teachings may be shortly stated in 7 points. Engage your body and soul in the practice of listening to every heartbeat, superimposing there with the nomenclature of the Lord, which may be called Ajapa Japa. Pure, keep your heart away from the corrupting influence of the undesirable things and undesirable company. Always keep attuned to the Lord. Your attention should never waver for a moment, deviating therefrom. Concentrate your attention on the heart and keep your heart centered in the Lord. Endeavor to attain kingship and attachment to the eternal truth, the Lord of the universe. Gradually erase the identity and try to merge in and attain oneness with God. Be ready always to make the Lord the sacrifice of life in this endeavor. For qualifying ourselves for this type of training, the most important qualification is having firm grip over the goal of life. Master stated that it is primary duty of man to realize his nature. How can this be a duty? Because it is God who has created this universe with his will. In fact, it is the will that is the basis of all of us, and I remind all of you that it is because of that process a pranahuti was discovered by the master. I may for fun add that Achha is a word that is the origin of pranahuti as given to us by our master. Sacrifice is the root cause of all creation, even as asserted by the Vedas. Sacrifice, service and cooperation are the ways of being happy and blissful. The nature of God is bliss, and all that he seeks through creation is the happiness of all. Elucidating further, it is obvious that this is naturally linked to the progress of spirituality of all of us, and in fact the progress of humanity into the next stage of humanity. The goal of man is divinity. Revered Babaji Maharaj stated that it is the primary duty of man to realize. That leads to the question, what is duty? Everyone in his office or station of life has certain duties to discharge, and he is considered to have successfully discharged the same when his performance is to the satisfaction of the work required and his supervisors concerned. What does the master mean by the duty in this context? Certain times duty is referred as debt, like Pitrurina, Rishirina, Devarina, etc. In what way are we indebted to move into the higher realms of spirituality? The Vedic revelation is that God has sacrificed himself so that the creation or expression of the divine takes place. We are all the offshoots of the original star, or the offsprings of the star. We are products of the sacrifice. God in his original nature is all bliss, and our original nature is consequently bliss. Thus it is evident that we are born to share and sacrifice. Our father and mother die when we are born. Certain times it is the real death in the physical sense of the term, but it is invariably death in the vital, emotional and ethereal aspects of life. Their intention is, their nature, their duties shall continue to express in their progeny. The Guru expects us to grasp the truth in all its aspects. The duty we inherit is to spread the blissful state of living with all those whom we live and move. In other words, we have a duty to be happy. This duty we can discharge only by the attitude of sacrifice and sharing and cooperation. These characteristics we have to develop assiduously, and the help of the parents is there in the initial stages. Education imparts this in a sense as we grow. To call all teachers as gurus may not be wrong, But the real teacher or guru is the one who connects us with the original purpose of life. We seem to think that we need gurus for various needs. We get lost because we think that there are thousands of problems in the world. Inflation, drought, stress, children, this, that and etc. It is enough to drive us crazy. In fact, we have only one problem, a disorder in the minds of people that stops us from seeing reality and stops us from acting correctly. There is a dark veil that exists in people's heads, as though we are all in blind. We see with our eyes, but not with our minds, and we cannot interpret what we see. Dr. Madhava was telling me that our brain seems to grant us vision even when we are blind, suggesting there is another neural path. This functional disturbance of the mind stops human beings from fulfilling the purpose for which they were created, and that is to evolve into spiritual realms where bliss is our true nature. Master asserts that the real spiritual training is that which makes our mind disciplined and regulated, restores moderation in the senses and faculties, and creates lightness of spirit. To develop these characteristics individually is what has been going on in the name of sadhana. And it is possible some of us have imbibed these in our nature. But to develop these virtues by humanity as such, we understand, is a long way to go. Humanity has been aiming at this goal, is what we see in the efforts of all religions. But religion is materialistic and sticky, particularly to rituals and procedures going by the name of tradition. Spirituality struggles to express noble virtues in a social context without getting soiled. It is like brothers and sisters differ, quarrel and almost wage wars, but fraternity and brotherliness persists. This is the primary lesson we get from history of mankind. This fate of trend is what we see in families, states, nations and the world at large. If, as Master said, we keep the mission of the Master, all differences die. To be united, we require the original trait of the Divine, namely sacrifice. And to be separated, all that we require is a fistful of earth. Matter divides, spirituality unites. If we remember the original duty entrusted to us by the Divine, namely to be blissful and happy all the time in our dealings, we can say we reached the goal of life. The noble life of our Grand Master attracts all of us to copy him. May he enable us to do so. Pranam.